It's now time for The Sit Down with Don Tony.
The Sit Down, where Don Tony talks one-on-one with his followers.
What are you looking at?
About the world of pro wrestling, pop culture, and so much more.
The Sit Down with Don Tony.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
Yay! nice way to wrap up the week. Do you consider Sunday the end of the week or the beginning of the following week? I know for most people it's the beginning of the week, but for me it's the end of the week, honestly. Monday when you wake up in the morning, maybe once I'm retired, you know, a lot of people still think that me doing the shows here is my full-time job. Oh, no. I run an insurance business that honestly is not as fun. And especially with everything that's going on with the economy and COVID, you know, having people cancel their policies, downsizing, all the insurance companies raising their rates to try to recover money. You know, the best one of them all was Geico last year. You know, we're giving everybody a COVID discount every couple of months, a COVID discount. Since you couldn't use your cars like you normally do, we're giving you something back. I swear on Jesus Christ, they raised their rates. They gave you the discount, and then they took it away. Sucks, man. But this doesn't. I want to welcome you tonight to the Sit Down with yours truly. All call-ins, all live chat. No rants unless you dictate me to. We did get a super chat right before the show started from LaSalle Williams. So I think it's a topic that a lot of you want me to mention briefly. And I'm going to do it right off the bat. Let's make it official. Let's throw it on the screen, everybody. And by the way, we will take calls in a couple of moments. And I will say this, just a reminder, I've been saying it for the last couple of days. We're going to keep the calls to around 5 minutes, give or take, just so the topics keep flowing. I totally felt bad. Totally felt bad. For Nier, it's chemo day for him. Good luck, Nier, man. 3:07 a.m., you should be sleeping. Seriously, get some sleep. The show will be available for you tomorrow. You got to be nice and strong for the freaking chemo. You know, not trying to turn it around, but this Thursday, I have my angiogram. That's not funny to have a doctor put a slit in your groin, shove some type of cable all the way into your heart to see what the hell's going on. And especially in January, my father went in for the same procedure, and the next thing you know, he had triple bypass, and it runs in the family. You know, I'm not looking forward to this Thursday, but I will tell you right now, there will not be a show Wednesday night. I am very sorry. I know winter is coming, but good health is even more important. And we could always talk about winter is coming on Thursday, or we could talk about it on Saturday. You know, we'll see what happens. I don't expect bad news to come out of this angiogram. You know, they found something. And you heard the audio last Thursday from the doctor himself. I secretly recorded my doctor telling me we got a problem. I think everything will be fine. But so programming, no show Wednesday night. And the reason why there's not going to be a show Wednesday night is twofold. Just like I said to Nier, I'm going to sleep early, getting a good night's sleep. I want to be rested, strong. I want my heart to be pumping good. And also I'm going to be staying at a hotel the night before because when my father went in, they had him go in at 6:30 in the morning. This hospital is not right by my house. And especially with rush hour traffic, I don't have to leave my house at 4:30 in the morning. So I'm going to hang out in Roslyn, Long Island the night before. I'm going to go to the Hilton. I'm going to camp out. I'll watch Winter is Coming from the hotel. And then this way I'm only 5-10 minutes from the hospital. So that's my plans for this week. But, yeah, go to sleep, man. Seriously, get a good night's sleep. or bore you to sleep. By the way, shout out to everybody on Facebook. Shout out to everybody on Twitch. Shout out to everybody on Twitter. And of course, the family on YouTube. Some of you on the other channels have been asking, why do the live streams disappear after the show is over? Well, these shows are presented by Blue Wire. And other than YouTube, for the video version, if you want to access the replay, go to Blue Wire, bluewirepods.com. That's part of the agreement. You know, I mean, yesterday we did the Don Tony show, and there was about 650 views on Twitter. And that's cool and everything, but you think Blue Wire wants 1,000 views on Twitter where they should be on Blue Wire? So we are live. And you could tune in live through those mediums. But once the show is over, the live stream self-destructs on your platforms. So anyway, Lissell Williams, he's at work, cannot call in. So he's sending me this, which was very generous of you, my friend. Thank you for the 20 spot. My overall thoughts on Ring of Honor Final Battle. Not the match results, but more about what went down. Have a killer show. Thank you very much, Lissell. I'll answer it this way, and I know there were a few of you beforehand wanted me to talk about this tonight, so I was prepared with two pictures. I want to show you this picture, and you know me, I am brutally honest, even if it's not popular. See the Jeff Hardy stuff the last 24 hours? Somebody in WWE says that Jeff Hardy was not under the influence. He was not inebriated. No signs of anything wrong. We had that discussion on Thursday when it was an unpopular one. The clickbait from everyone was that he was wired, drunk, stoned, under pills, lied so he could get out of his job. You know, oh, fish you in, fish you in. How do you like it? How does the hook on the lip? Not fun, right? Now a WWE official, anonymous, I might add, so we'll take it with a grain of salt, but still, the fans, there's other fan cams that came out, alternate angles, Jeff Hardy before the match in the crowd, something you don't normally do. Remember I said Thursday that it was almost symbolic that he walked out through the crowd? Now all of a sudden, that's the in thing to talk about. You and I had that discussion 3 days ago, when it was an unpopular one that doesn't get the hits. And the reason why I preface that with Ring of Honor is this. I'm not going to do the emotional. I'm not trying to downplay it. I'm being totally honest with you right now. It sucks. It sucks that this is how Ring of Honor ends. Believe me, you don't have CM Punk, Bryan Danielson, Hangman Page, and a bunch of others giving video tributes if it's just on hiatus for 3 months, reimagining it. They know what's going on. You see the emotional comments by Maria Kanellis, Chelsea Green, Mike Bennett, goes on and on and on. They know what is going on. You pose like this right before you go off the air. No, it's not a contest to pick, try to, you know, name everybody. You know, they know what's going on. Sinclair. See, one side of me could say Sinclair did not help Ring of Honor. In fact, it hurt Ring of Honor tremendously. You could also look at it that Sinclair may have saved Ring of Honor's ass a couple of years ago because the writing was on the wall for years and years and years. When you see a lot of noise online, just like Hook, the next greatest superstar, the overnight numbers coming in for Rampage was under 500,000 again. Now, I think the overall rating will be a little up. But when you go on social media, you would think that millions of fans are talking about Hook. There are excited fans. There are fans that like the guy. I praised his parents, but we keep it in perspective. Just because there's a group of very, very loud people online does not make them the majority. And all you saw for the last month and a half, Ring of Honor, 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 final battle, Ring of Honor, final battle. We got to go. The last show, we got to go. Yeah, this was the audience yesterday. No, this was not recorded an hour before the show went live. That is terrible. That is terrible. Ring of Honor has had problems for years and years and years. And I love when most people out there will post the photo from New York City, you know, as if, you know, they didn't need another promotion from another country to basically increase that audience. The reason why it's so freaking sad for a lot of wrestlers is because you have your, and this is just my opinion, you have your small independent promotions. You have indie promotions from all across the globe. Since Ring of Honor is a United States company, we will focus on United States. You have indie promotions in every state. Ring of Honor is one of those few promotions that has been in business for almost 20 years. Of course, it's not the Ring of Honor from 10 years ago, but it's still a promotion that had a history, had a legacy, had a cult following. The problem is they did nothing to try to increase that audience. You can't just hot shot bringing in someone here, bringing in someone there, bringing in, unless you are a local indie promotion just trying to attract your local audience. You have, let's say you live in Texas. Let's say you live in Houston. All right, so you'd have an indie promotion in Houston. You can bring in a Jay Lethal for one show. You can bring in an Alex Hammerstone for one show. You can bring in, you know, maybe a Deonna Purrazzo, a Mickie James, or someone for one show. Because your promotion is designed to attract your local community. Ring of Honor is not designed to attract just the Northeast fans. This is a promotion that is worldwide, even though it doesn't tour. It's got commitments. And Sinclair, really, it may have saved it a few years ago, but it really didn't do much of anything either. And the reason why it's such a sad moment is because it's one less promotion to give these wrestlers work. Say what you want about Sinclair, good or bad. But we're not talking about Joe Schmuck, the local indie promoter that can't afford to pay the wrestlers. Writes him a bounce check. I'll give you the money next week. Can I give you merch instead? Can we get a money mark? You know, to wrestle a legend and pay for some tickets. No, you had a billion-dollar company behind it, so they knew the checks were going to clear. The sadness is that this is a company with a legacy owned by a billionaire corporation that is no longer going to be in business. Now, listen, man, listen. I already hear that Jonathan Gresham is going to defend the Ring of Honor Championship for another promotion. You're going to have Roxy defend her championship in another promotion. I'm not trying to disrespect those wrestlers. But seriously, Sinclair, if you're not bringing back that promotion like a normal fucking promotion, close it down. Close it down. To have somebody show up with a belt and then the belt is represented by a legacy that doesn't exist anymore and a corporation that doesn't give a shit about Ring of Honor. You know, oh my God, look, the Ring of Honor Championship is going to be defended on this show. That reminds me of XPW. And you know me, from my past with XPW, I would love to see that promotion strive. And you already heard my thoughts on what's needed to make that succeed, but it's a name only. Ring of Honor now is just in name only. Period. If, and I'll leave you with this, we'll move on. If Ring of Honor truly was going to use these cutesy words, let's say they are going to reimagine and reappear in April, why all the video tributes? Why all the sadness? Wait, no, just reorganizing. No, we're going to be back in April. It's going to be a little different. We may not have the same people. We're not going anywhere. You look at the last month and a half and last night especially, does that look like a promotion that's staying around? That's my honest thoughts about it. I wouldn't be surprised if WWE wants to try to buy the library. Seriously. I wouldn't be surprised. And if Sinclair thinks that they could get by just having a Ring of Honor digital network, I know they could do it through Fight in other places, but if they think that they could strive just for having a monthly membership to watch Ring of Honor stuff, if you can't, with all of the hype for the last month and a half, to fill that build, that, the left side is empty. There's nobody. The bottom floor is what? 7 rows? 8 rows? And everybody is socially distanced because of COVID. When you actually count those numbers, that is a pathetic number. It's not even, it's well under 1,000 people for the last ever show. Oh, 316, you were so wrong. Ring of Honor was not the same without Rob Feinstein. Rob Feinstein was out within a couple of years. I mean, that whole thing that happened, with the incident with the kid, everybody acts like that was 10 years later. That's not the case. Rob was out much, much before, earlier than that. Ring of Honor just hasn't been the same since, at least 10 years ago. Ring of Honor right now is just a name only. And the sadness is of the wrestlers who have one less opportunity and a good opportunity. So I believe me, I tell you, it sucks that Ring of Honor ended the way it did. But it had an awesome run and fond memories, and it did develop a boatload of stars that you see today. Absolutely. I'm not taking that away from them. And, the more I listen to my retro shows from like 05, 06, 07, especially, the more I'm reminded when people today that were just embryos at the time or sperm inside someone's body, when they're trying to tell you now that Ring of Honor never got the respect that it truly earned, are they burnt? Ring of Honor was put before even bigger companies back then because of the politics that was going on online. So it had a nice run. But right now it's a name only. And honestly, I understand the wrestlers. It does have a little weight. You're a champion for that promotion. Hey, I go to this Fed, I'll defend the title. Oh! It's a name only. Michael hopes WWE buys the library. Look, they buy the library, it'll be available online. But, for all these years, a lot of the footage was available already, and yet people still didn't want to see it. Listen, I'm not defending Sinclair here, but if Ring of Honor was such a successful company in recent years, it would not be in the situation that it's in right now. Sinclair, with all the capital that they have, especially coming out of COVID, would invest a little bit extra to give a nice kick in the ass, to give a nice spark, to light the fire, to try to piggyback some of the other feds out there. How come MLW is doing a pretty damn good job right now? How come GCW is killing it? AEW is doing an awesome job. Why can't Ring of Honor? Why is it so difficult? You know, even when they were on, remember when they were on TV? Oh, they're going to be on before Impact Wrestling. Oh, they're going to be on before this and before that. And the numbers were still pathetic. So they had a good run. I think they had a good run, but now it's a name only. So, all right. So what else you want to get into before we take some calls? Before we take some calls. Now, yesterday, we only did 90 minutes because I wanted to stop by Killer Cross's Twitch, his first ever Twitch stream, and it was fun. I was there for most of it, and I know a lot of you were there as well, and he was straight up honest about a lot of things pertaining to his release. And if you paid attention to my shows in the past, what he said is pretty much what we were saying. Even, and I had people throw it in my face, and I just bit my tongue. I didn't say nothing. But when Scarlett was off TV for a while, and he lost to Jeff Hardy, and do you remember what I said on these shows? I take pride in that because I don't lie to all of you out there. I said, everyone, bigger picture. They were going to put Cross on a losing streak, and then Scarlett was supposed to come back, light the fire under his ass. And she was always supposed to be back on the main roster. She was going to come back. Remember, you'll remember this. Remember when I compared it to that awful movie with Cher? I said that Scarlett's going to come out one day on Raw and she's going to go, snap out of it. Remember that movie? Snap out of it. That's what they were supposed to do. And he brought it up last night. And everybody, oh, DT, you said this, you said that. Yeah. And Karrion Kross also was told that. And he still doesn't even understand why it went south so quickly. No COVID excuses. None of the crap that people are feeding online because these people guess. They fish. Everything that he said yesterday is what we all talked about for months and months and months. But I know I didn't talk about SmackDown yesterday, and look, I'm not going to do a SmackDown recap right now, but, you know, Xia Li made her debut, coming to the aid of Naomi. You know, I'll say it like this, because I know some of you wanted my thoughts on Xia Li's debut. I'm already a huge fan of Xia Li. I still have the photos. Remember the milk crate? Remember I superimposed her face on a milk crate because she was gone on NXT for 7 straight weeks for no reason? They did all those vignettes, her being tortured and everything. She was on TV for a couple of weeks, and then she disappeared for 7 weeks. 7 freaking weeks! Why people acted like they never saw her before? Oh, you know, she's got a pretty good physique. You know, she's pretty. She's this. Where were these people for all this time that she's been in NXT? Now, because it's SmackDown, because it's for a kid-friendly audience and some, designed for adults, you know, doing the extra things with her like the superhero, I mean, you should have expected that. It's like storytelling, character development. Pomp Circus is not about 4 and 5 star matches all the time. This is the formula for WWE. Don't be surprised. Her coming to the aid of Naomi, okay, fine. Where does it lead from here? Naomi and Xia Li versus Sonya Deville and Shayna Baszler? Possibly. I'm fine with it. I'm glad that she's getting an opportunity. Like I said also, if you look back at 2021, Xia Li probably is at the top of the list of the greatest vignettes. But let's see what it amounts to. Her vignettes in NXT going through the torture were awesome. Her vignettes leading to her debut on SmackDown were awesome. Talking about the nasty landlord that looks like a podcaster, you know, talking about fighting for her family. Wasn't that a movie star page? Well, anyway, you know, so they've done a beautiful job with the production, hyping her up. Now you need to deliver. And I think Xia Li will do her part just fine. Now it's up to WWE to deliver on their end. So, and as far as Brock Lesnar, you know, the stuff with Sami Zayn should be no surprise. You know, Brock Lesnar will take on Roman Reigns at day one. Expect a crazy ending, and that will continue the storyline into the Royal Rumble, into WrestleMania. That's it. I mean, get used to it for a while. And we just had this discussion last night that if WWE could go get by with Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar having a stranglehold on that championship title for the next year, 15 months, I'm not saying that they'll be the only two individuals to hold that Universal Championship, but that is a strong possibility. You know, they have a stranglehold on it. If the ratings, you know, stay consistent and the revenue is still top-notch and you add Brock Lesnar in the mix, Brock Lesnar is appearing more now than we used to, even though he's not having matches. And a lot of people are digging this Brock Lesnar. You know, let's hope it sticks around for a while, because remember, when Brock Lesnar left in the 2000s to go play football, I thought his finest work was right before he left. When he threw Zach Gowen down the flight of stairs and he started cutting promos and being a little charismatic, I was like, holy shit, this is awesome. And then he left. He had the match with Goldberg, and the rest is history. So anyway, we'll open the phone lines in a moment. So if you want to call in, like I said, just be prepared. You know, I have everything set up for the calls to be right around 5 minutes, you know. It may go a little over, but look, I know a lot of you are excited to call in, and I just can't have someone just call in and talk for 20 minutes. I mean, you know, that's cool and everything, but the last sit-down that we did, I mean, there was like, I think 77 people, different numbers, tried to call in while one person was on. So we got to be a little fair to everybody who calls in, and you know, we're not going to go extremely late today. You know, tomorrow night, I'm going to be here with Mish. We're going to do Breakfast Soup Raw. We'll talk about Raw. Lashley, as we talked about last Monday. And, you know, I tell you, you know, I liked the 90-minute thing yesterday. Don't get me wrong. That was awesome. But, you know, a lot of topics that are being discussed on a lot of other shows this weekend is stuff that we discussed 6 days ago. So, you know, we may sometimes come across as being a little short on topics, but that's only because we cover them quicker. We don't wait for news to come out. We see Lashley last Monday on Raw, and Mish and I, first instinct, both of us, like great minds think alike, our instinct was, they're going to add Lashley to day one on the Raw title match. Might be Kevin Owens versus Seth Rollins versus Big E versus Bobby Lashley. And I know a lot of you out there sense that, too. Lashley's too good to leave him off of day one. I don't want him to squash Dominic Mysterio on day one. Put him in the title match. Be a four-way. So now it's being reported as news. Been there, done that already. Oh, and one last thing, and then we'll open the phone lines. I have to say this, and it pisses me off that I have to say it. But, you know, I do read everybody's email. I read your DMs. If I don't follow you on Twitter, I don't realize sometimes that it pops up as a message request and I don't look at the message request. And sometimes I'll look at the top and I'm like, holy shit, there's 15, 20, 30 message requests. And it's messages from early in the week. So today I was clearing out a lot of messages, responding to people on YouTube. And, you know, I want to make something perfectly clear on these shows. Two things. I saw the comment that Sal wrote at the beginning of the show that somebody I used to do shows with is talking a lot of stuff behind my back. You will not find me here throwing jabs and darts at anybody, even with stuff like that. My only response to it is that, you know, I'm used to it. It's been going on for decades with different people. It doesn't surprise me. And I always say to all of you out there as a piece of advice, You get people that, you know, troll you online. You get people that talk shit behind your back. You got people that are very, very jealous. You got people that try to put you down. The ultimate this is not trolling them back. It's not cursing them out. It's not giving them the big, best, greatest tweet insult that you can. The best form of telling them F you is by being happy, by having success, by doing the things you love to do, by mingling with the people that make you happy. That's the ultimate, because the happier you are, the angrier they get. And that is disturbing. And it's not just social media. It's not just podcasts. It's not just wrestling. It's in politics. It's in sports. It's people that you live by. It could be family members for some of you. It's weird. It's weird, but it's been around for a long time. And the second thing I wanted to say is that when I talked about Jeff Hardy on Thursday, and I told you my views of Jeff Hardy, my opinions, my speculation, I'm speaking on behalf of me. When I yesterday talked about a lot of places using Jeff Hardy for clickbait, and I said there are people out there that are only concerned with hits, likes, and views instead of being straight up real, because there's a lot of people that are like that. So there is an audience for that. If I take a viewpoint, especially because the Jeff Hardy one for the last 24 hours was interesting, the response that I got. I want to make this perfectly clear. Perfectly clear. When I make comments on these shows and I express my opinions, I am not calling out any one individual person. If I say something and someone out there, it fits that mold, I'm not going to change how I feel or give you a different opinion just so I don't upset someone, piss them off. I don't look, you know, I don't waste my time on any one individual's thoughts. Everybody has a right to their opinion. Everybody has a right to do what they want to do. You're the one that makes the decision who you listen to, who you watch, who you pay attention to, and who you don't. So when I had a few people in the last 24 hours saying, oh, you know, shots fired because of a particular show did exactly what I was talking about last night. Do you realize there are thousands of people on social media having that same viewpoint? So no, when I make my comments, I'm expressing how I feel. If I want to call out someone specific, I will just do so on the shows. But I am not. I am not. I know a lot of people who had addiction. My best friend died of a drug overdose a couple of years ago. You all know that already. I'm not saying it now because of the Jeff Hardy stuff. A lot of you out there have had fathers, mothers, friends, relatives that had battles with alcoholism and addiction. A lot of you know that it's a lifelong struggle. And I always brought up Tammy as a perfect excuse because I would always bring that up with Tammy and people would just throw it away because they didn't like her. But it's a lifelong battle. And when I see people that take that and then decide that they're going to clickbait it and turn it into controversy and try to insinuate that he lied to get out of his job so he could go fight the Young Bucks in AEW. I mean, and at the same time, we should all pray for Jeff. We all care for Jeff. We should not, but then do that too. To me, that's disturbing. And I have every right to have that opinion because that's how I feel. I am not going to withhold that and not say that simply because there are certain shows out there or friends of mine that may have that viewpoint. Without naming names, I had someone the other day that got a little offended with me because I questioned a viewpoint about something. And, you know, I looked back and I saw what I said And yeah, I definitely did not say it the way it should have come out. But, you know, I'm not going to hold back a difference of opinion because one individual person has that difference of opinion. So when I say something here, it's a broad statement. It's not to throw shots to anything out there. I've been doing it since 97. You should know me by now. My style here, the only difference between 97 and now is back then I was very, very boring, very mechanic. I sounded horrible, and you will hear some 2002 audio very, very soon. So I'm just trying to boost up that audio. But no, no. I express my views, and they are very unpopular. That's why even when I call out the bullshit on social media, most people do not respond to it. Because either A, they are the ones doing it. B, there are sick people out there that think they don't do it, but they do it 10 times worse than the other people. And C, others out there that don't want to get caught in the crossfire. You agree with me, you take my side, you speak out very publicly about it, and then there's people just waiting to rip you apart. Maybe they won't do it to me because they think that I could come back and I have a following, but they'll do it to someone else. That's why a lot of wrestlers out there, we've brought it up over the years. You ever ask yourself why a particular wrestler, you know, actors, actresses, athletes, wrestlers, musicians, politicians, for hundreds of years, they've been getting hate mail. They've been getting, you know, hate from people. Yet on social media, weird thing happens more times than not. You'll have a wrestler call out an individual on social media, and 9 times out of 10, that person will have less than 100 followers. Weird. I'm not going to name names, but we've talked about that many times over the last 15 years at least. That they'll see, you see someone that calls out, even that asshole, Eddie Guerrero's a B+ player. The guy had 15 followers. The other day, somebody said something really, really stupid about Jade Cargill, 31 followers. You know, it seems like people like will go after the accounts that have almost no following because they know there isn't an army of people to, it happens. I mean, we've called out tons of WWE wrestlers in the past, especially for that. So, Steph is telling me, now go home and get your effing shine box. Steph, I'm with you, Steph. I saw what you wrote about Sonya Deville. I will say it here, because I know you already read what I said. Sonya Deville will be a women's champion in 2022. I don't know if it'll be SmackDown. It could possibly be Raw. But Sonya Deville, I think she is going to start heading back in the ring. And I do see her holding gold in 2022. I tell you, even though it's likely not going to happen, but, you know, it would be cool to see her and Mandy Rose holding gold at the same time. I think that would be pretty freaking cool. You know, what were they, Team Cupcake or something like that? Oh, Darren, I never bring up the Eddie B+ player stuff anymore. You take a drink, you ain't going to get even buzzed off of that. All right, so we open the phone. Mike from New York said, JD from New York said that. Said what? What about the Jeff Hardy stuff? Look, man, like I say repeatedly, he has as much of a right to his opinion as do I. But under no circumstances do I express a viewpoint to single out any one person. Period. You know, JD from New York, you know, I've said it many times before. In fact, I said it even a week ago. You know, we agree on a lot of topics. We disagree on a lot of topics. But, you know, I consider him a friend. The guy is not a malicious guy. He definitely has, you know, an exaggerated character on social media, on YouTube, and he's admitted that before. And he has every right to that opinion. But, you know, if I say something on these shows and complaining about a narrative and he happens to take it, or anybody, Mish, anybody happens to take it, I am not going to change. Oh, I can't say that because, you know, somebody else, you know, said the opposite. Nah, man. And JD would never not do that either. You know, so no, it's when I address stuff, I address it as a whole. That's why, if you notice, and I'm not, maybe I am bragging a little bit, but I mean, since 1997, we have gotten 99% of everything correct. Correct. It may take some time to prove it. For example, the Scarlet stuff with Karrion Kross. He told everybody last night he was going to go on his losing streak and Scarlett was going to show up on Raw, snap out of it. And that's exactly what we say. Got to give it time. Got to give it time. Just because WWE changes their mind doesn't make us wrong. WWE changed their freaking mind. They changed their mind on a lot of wrestlers. You know, it seems like WWE has a very short attention span, you know? So, the reason why we're right 99% of the time is easy to explain. And this goes out to all of you out there. If you ever decide you want to do shows as well, you have any style you want. You want to be a shock jock, go ahead and do it. You want to be serious, go ahead and do it. You want to be somewhere in the middle, go ahead and do it. Whatever you want to do, you do it. But anybody out there can be right 99% of the time. Here is the trick, though. A lot of times when you're right, it is boring. It is unpopular. It is not something to reel someone in. It's the opposite. We could have come on this show Thursday and said, oh, Jeff Hardy, everybody said he was fine. You know, he's just fed up with WWE and everything that's going on. And he walked out so he could go to AEW. I guarantee you we would have twice as many people that would have agreed with it or tuned in. People sacrifice the truth for popularity, hits, and views, and likes. That's just a fact. Because so many times we've been spot on with things where other people took the opposite viewpoint, and that was the popular one. And what ends up happening? Ultimately, the truth comes out. Ultimately, the truth comes out. And what happens at the end of the day? Keith Lee. I talked about it for 4 months this year. And I said, look, everybody, I heard Keith Lee's got some big-time health issues. I don't know exactly what's going on, and it would be totally disrespectful if I came up here and speculate. But there's something going on with him health-wise. What did everybody else do? WWE has nothing for Keith Lee. He was pulled from Elimination Chamber because Vince has soured on Keith Lee. All his stuff. And meanwhile, the boring take was what we said. Keith Lee has got some massive health issues right now. Don't know exactly what it is. I've heard a couple of claims. I don't know which is accurate, so I'm not going to throw it out there. Who ended up telling you the truth all along? I'm not going to sacrifice, you know, my honesty, even if it's boring, simply just to get extra views. Because in the end, you know, no other shows out there, almost none. I'm not being the sole person because a lot of other people have the same views as me. But I will not sacrifice that. So Peter Parker, shout out to Peter Parker. Shout out to everybody tuning in live, right? Smurfy Tunes. I like that name. Smurfy Tunes, Rams fan, James Pasco, Austin Nance, Crazy Cruiserweight, Lions in the house, Twix is in the house, Soulfly is in the house. Yeah, I have a, you know, someone asked me a while ago, like, what shirts do I have the most of? And I said ECW. Second place would be XPW. Because every time I went to the events, you know, working there, I would always get all the shirts. But third on the list is NWO. And if you remember last year, I finally got the six shirt. I always wanted six, that six ball. And I finally got my hands on it. But this is original. This is when they first did the NWO. And it wasn't even the manufactured block logo yet. So, all right, so let's open the phone lines. And again, please, you know, let's keep, you know, the combos right to the point. I'd like to have the topics turn as much as we possibly can turn over. So let me switch some templates here. All right. I will take it off. Oof, pulled the wire out. I will take it off Do Not Disturb in a moment. So for everyone out there that is just listening and not looking at the video right now, the call-in number is 225-DON-TONY, which is 225-366-8669, or 833-366-8686. Let's take some calls, and let's call it a night. We're 45 minutes in. So you figure 45 minutes of chat, live chat, 45 minutes of calls. Good evening, you're on. Who is this?
Hey, DT, it's Crazy Cruiserweight.
What's up, Cruiserweight? Tell me where I'm wrong.
Okay, so I'm actually glad you brought that up. I have to 100% disagree with you on a subject you said yesterday.
Okay.
You were talking about the MJF interview he did with the New York Post, and you brought up the photo that surfaced online back at the Stadium Stampede show. So the person who uploaded that photo, it happens to be the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. And you were saying that whoever posted that photo should have been fired. Now, let's think about, now, here's my thing. Could you imagine he gets fired right before the season starts, and it's his first year as the head coach of the team? Major sports outlets covering that, saying, well, why was he fired? Or, oh, because he posted a photo of a wrestling thing online. That would be justifiable as a wrongful termination right there, because he could actually sue the con for wrongful termination, and the NFL would have to investigate such a thing. Because if you're firing someone over a photo like that, that's kind of wrong. And the other thing is, Tony Khan himself is actually in the photo, and the photo is still on Urban Meyer's personal Twitter, which I will link to you later on Patreon.
Look, I completely forgot that it was the owner of the Jaguars or whatever. I mean, but you see, my point is, okay, I agree with you. You should not have been fired then. But how, if he's a wrestling fan, if he's a wrestling fan, how does he justify still keeping that photo public? It exposes the business.
Right, but also Tony Khan is also in there, and that's kind of, exposing it as well. I don't know if Urban Meyer is a pro wrestling fan or not. I honestly don't know. But it could be said one thing of, yeah, sure, it exposed the business, but you have to look at how Tony Khan has been with AEW. He kind of lets the cat out of the bag one too many times, honestly, and it's not overall looking good. I mean, you could say the same thing about the Young Bucks being the Elite Show, how it kind of exposes the business and nobody, gets fired or anything over that, or anybody gets in trouble. We could compare apples to oranges all day. I just look at it as, if he was to get fired for a thing like that, when there are coaches who have, done worse over into something like that, how would that really look for the Jaguars overall? Because your fan base, the Jaguar fan base would throw a fit that you're taking the pro run, you're taking professional wrestling over the side of your football organization that's in the dumps, and right now, this is what you're doing, and there are a lot of amount of football fans who aren't even pro wrestling fans, and you could just imagine how it could affect the players and the personnel who work for the Jaguars as well. It's like, they would have that effect on it, and the Jaguars are a laughing stock of the NFL anyway. And
karma.
Would that be a good look for AEW and for pro wrestling as a whole? Yeah. Because, I'm just saying what I just wanted to say. I mean, you don't have to agree with my take on it. That's just all.
No, it's a valid point. I'm just, I think Tony Khan is just, I hate to say it like this, but it comes across that Tony Khan doesn't have the balls to tell him, like, look, can you take that picture down? It kind of exposes, us watching, and it's supposed to be us privateness, this and that. I mean, You know, and I know what some people are going to say. You know, we're smart enough that we know, you know, what the business is and everything. But still, you know, to me, that's just irresponsible. I just feel it's an irresponsible photo to keep out there. And to me, when MJF, you know, it works so hard to have his character and blur that line, and then to see him just standing right next to Jericho, I don't think that helps MJF at all. Just in my opinion.
Okay. Well, that's understandable. It's just, you know, you would think about it in one regard, but then you got to think about how the snowball would just fall into place of everything would just look, and it would just get ugly, not only for the Jaguars, but for the Khan family as well. Yeah, and then, you know,
I hear you.
Yeah.
All right.
No offense. I just wanted to get that.
No, I appreciate it. No, you're right. I think a lot of people agree with you. I don't disagree with you. You make a very valid point.
All right, DT. All right. Well, thanks for the question anyway. Enjoy the rest of your night.
Much love. You too.
All right, bye.
Yeah, I should have remembered it was the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars. I just think it's a disrespectful move to leave that photo out there, because it doesn't help anybody. I mean, again, we know what the deal is. But, you know, it doesn't help, especially MJF. Out of everybody, I think it hurts MJF more than anybody. So, all right, let's open the phone lines again. 833-366-8686 or 225-366-8669. And, we'll take a couple of more calls. I always get really nervous about this software because I'm still using it through the phone, as you heard when I disconnected the call. Sometimes the do not disturb just stays on, but not in this case. Hey, Ron, who's this?
Hey, you guess who this is. Is this Deli Man?
Yes, it is Deli Man.
This is Rams fan.
What's up, Rams fan, what's going on?
How you guys doing?
Not bad, not bad. Decent night.
Yeah. Hey, I got to say one thing. Near strong and De Blasi strong. Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
Shattering strong.
I'm not looking forward to it, but, you know, I got to get it done. It's something that runs in the family. It killed my uncle. It almost killed my dad in January. So I'm sure when I go in Thursday, it'll be all good. And if I feel up to it, I'll be up here Thursday night letting everybody know what went down. So, but I appreciate that.
So this is probably the shortest phone call that I'm ever going to have, but I just have a statement to make.
Okay.
So I went to a TNA show a few years ago because, you know, unlike some other people, I actually watch and support things. I don't just talk about it and not actually watch it.
Yes.
Example, AEW, some of you in the chat room. I went to TNA a couple years ago in Sacramento, and this was shortly after the Jeff Hardy incident, you know, the Victory Road stuff. I forget how much time he had off. And it was, he was in the main event that night, I think. And, you should have just heard all the jokes the whole night everybody's making about Jeff Hardy. Like, oh, if we get to go backstage and meet Jeff Hardy, is he going to be all plastered? Is he going to be all messed up? Like, dude, that's so gross. I had to, like, be around all those people. I'm just looking at them like, really, guys? So, yeah, just sometimes I think about the wrestling community and I'm like, guys.
You know what? I'm not defending that, but I'll say it like this. Number one, it was almost 15 years ago, so it was much earlier in Jeff Hardy. Look, I still have a photo. I still have a photo of CM Punk, I think, holding the championship. And somebody had a picture of Jeff Hardy in the corner, and it said, hey, dumbass, this could have been you. Jeff Hardy, right before that, and I still have the video, Jeff Hardy, right before that, was in a diner at 3:30 in the morning, obviously on something. Fuck you, WWE. I don't remember exactly what he said. So when you look at other items at that point, and it's 15 years ago before he ever battled his demons, and how TNA seemed to turn a blind eye towards issues, the Kurt Angle stuff back then. I mean, we made it a running joke. I mean, it was not a joke, but it was just ridiculous that, you know, Angle would get arrested. He'd get arrested. That I can't believe this happened to me. It's only because I'm a celebrity. I didn't drink this and that. And Dixie Carter was, in defense of her, was in a bad situation because she depended on these big stars so much. Look, Goldust. Didn't Goldust say that when he was in TNA, he worked all wired a lot? I mean, I know people that worked there and they never got tested. So we got to keep in perspective that this is Jeff Hardy from 15 years ago that pretty much, you know, he has battled. He's got a family now. So it's unacceptable now. At that time, I think Jeff probably deserved a lot of the heat that he got, and I think he would probably admit it too.
Okay. I'm going to rattle my phone call here, but I just want to say the incident I'm talking about was when he was in TNA, and it was after that Victory Road stuff, and he came back from that. That was the incident that I had experienced.
Was Sting talking about?
And it was something about you. Yeah. So I was talking about when he was in TNA, and then this was after the fact when he came back, and people were just totally, like, making jokes about it.
Yeah.
And everybody's laughing.
I agree with you. I mean, it's never funny. And as we get older, you know, we get more aware. I think we realize that even if that time, even if he deserved the heat, it still doesn't make it better.
Yeah. So I'm going to let you go, DT, because I'm going to let everybody
Much
else call him. I'm gonna keep rolling with everybody in the chat. Have a good night, guys.
You too. Take care, Ranch Man. He brings up excellent points. Excellent points. I really can't disagree with anything that he said. Few of you out there asked while we were talking to see that picture that didn't tune in last night. This is the picture we were talking about with MJF. This was the Stadium Stampede. And again, I just think it's irresponsible for the owner of the Jaguars to leave this photo online. If he's truly a wrestling fan, even though we know, you know, the secrets, you know, of wrestling, if he's truly a wrestling fan, you do not keep that online. For what? To show your grandkid that you were behind this backstage at AEW? I think that's wrong. But and yes, I said, I do have the footage still of Jeff Hardy at that time, but I would not post it again. I mean, I'm sure if you want to Google search, you could probably see what I'm talking about. But, you know, different time, different era. And, you know, it's no joke, man. You know, the demons of battle. Like I said, even if Jeff didn't take a drip of alcohol or anything that night in Texas, remember what I said about that emotional battle? You know, it's just a temptation. That could take over, you know, mentally, that could screw you up. It felt more like a burnout than anything else. Burned out. You get to that boiling point. Just because you're a major TV star, athlete, doesn't mean that you can't have that tipping point. It felt like Jeff Hardy had a tipping point. That's it. I'm done. That's what it felt like. So, all right. 833-366-8686, 225-366-8669. And, you know, for my friends tuning in on the other platforms, you're welcome to call in too. It's not just limited to just YouTube. I want to make that clear. So, yeah, we'll take a couple of more calls. I appreciate, you know, Cruiserweight and Rams fan keeping it short and to the point. Great discussion. You know, we'll keep it going, so. All right, let me remove the Do Not Disturb, and there we go. Oh, no, there we go. All right, phone line should be open now, and don't forget tomorrow night, 11:05 p.m., right after Raw Mission, I will be here for Breakfast Soup Raw. I tell you the truth, when I was saying earlier about staying in a hotel Wednesday night, I originally was going to stay in a hotel Tuesday because my blood work is Wednesday morning. The only thing is that I really don't want to spend money like that, you know, just to stay in a hotel for 2 days, you know, because it's right near the hospital. So, yeah, Jeff, the reason why there's a lot of sixes in the numbers is because the 225 number, it's 225 Don Tony. The other number is 833 Don VM VM. Just so you know, that's what that number stands for, 833-DON-VMVM. I originally was going to open up a voicemail. And the idea was if people wanted to leave a voicemail and I played a voicemail on the show. The problem was most of everybody that left a voicemail left like 4, 5, 6 minute voicemails. And then Mish said to me, well, change the setting to 60 seconds or 30 seconds. And when I changed it to 60 seconds, almost nobody left a message. So I was like, okay, I'll just disable the voicemail and we'll use it as a call-in number. So I own the number. I might as well use it. So that's the reason, you know, the sixes actually represent. All right. Somebody said they tried to call in and it's not connecting. Let me reset this. That's the only problem with using like Google Hangouts and this other service that I use. I have two numbers that are supposed to bounce to the same number on my phone. And sometimes I don't know if there's like a conflict in the software and people say they can't get through. I see two people now telling me they're trying to get through. So I really apologize. I hope we're not getting technical issues tonight. This is why sometimes I wish I had like a helping hand, you know, at least with the calls, but it's not as easy as you think. Because we had two people that offered to do it. And the first time it was supposed to happen, the person no-showed. And person's a good guy. He wasn't trying to screw me over. But, yeah, Lee is saying to keep trying the call. So I don't want to have to reboot everything. But, well, while we're trying to get through the software, you know, you could ask the question in the chat and I can answer it that way. We don't have to, you know, do the calls. But, you know, the whole idea to sit down is strictly me answering your questions, whether it's typed or voice. So you know what? I'm going to reboot the phone. Oh, you just heard it. Hold on. So at least you know I'm telling the truth. I'm trying to reboot this. Turn off. How do you turn off an iPhone? Turn off.
I found this on the web.
Shut up. How do you turn off an iPhone? I don't normally turn my phone off. I'm not kidding. I think you hold like two buttons down. Yeah, there we go. Okay, I got it. I think some people think that like I'm lying when I say some things. And I'm sure somebody's like, you don't have problems with your software. You're just not getting any calls. No, I'm legitimately have some problems with my software. So, all right. My phone is rebooting. What other question you guys have? You could post it in the chat while we're resetting this because we're going to get out of here soon. Yeah, I do remember the Saturday morning show. Look, I love the idea of you all leaving voicemails and I just play like a minute, 2 minutes. But, you know, everybody wants to make their statement, which is totally understandable. It's just, you know, it doesn't work out sometimes. So, all right, I think we are rebooted. So let's load this. Let's try it again. Sorry that it's a little unprofessional, but since I'm here by myself, I mean, that's pretty much all we got for now. So, all right. Take this off. Do not disturb. All right. We should be good now. Let's try it and see what happens. 833-366-8686, 225-366-8669. And let me also remind everyone, if you disagree with anything that I say, you can tell me. I'm not one of those that's going to snap at you and get pissed off at you. I mean, there are a lot of people out there, my God, you go against them and it's like you killed their pet. How's the wife? She's good. She's inside. She's just chilling, waiting for me to fish. We haven't eaten dinner yet. So we had a very late lunch. And yesterday she ordered her wedding dress. She went to a store yesterday with her mother, her cousin, and her aunt. And she ordered the wedding dress. I didn't see a picture. I'm apparently not supposed to see it. And you're on. Who's this? Oh, shit. I didn't see the call coming in and I lost the call back. All right, here we go. Good evening. You're on. Who's this? Hello? Oh, we lost him. All right. We got Canada trying to call in. All right. Hang on. All right. You, phone line is now open. I see California, Canada, and New York all calling in at the same time. So you could try it back. You should be able to get through. Yeah, I got to get better software. I have software in a computer. It's just I have so many boxes, screens open right now that I'm a little nervous with doing it through the computer. But maybe we'll try that next week.
A little nervous with doing it through the computer.
Just lower your computer volume. You'll be good to go. Yeah, you're on. Hello? Who's this?
Hey, man, it's Ian. What's up?
Hey, Ian. Good evening.
Yeah, I've called in before, too. But, yeah, how's everything going, man?
Can't complain. Can't complain.
I joined a little bit late into the stream, so I'm pretty sure you already talked about the Jeff Hardy thing.
Yes.
I was just curious.
Yeah, go ahead. Curious what?
I was just curious. Was there any other topics that you wanted to bring up? Or I'm kind of blanking out right now, but yeah, what's there to discuss, I guess? Any big headlines that you haven't mentioned?
Well, we talked a little bit about Ring of Honor Final Battle that, you know, their show was last night. I mean, it was a strong show. I watched about a third of it so far. But, you know, to me, it just felt like another indie wrestling event. And, you know, it's a shame that they're closing down. I just think that it would be disrespectful to fans to keep pretending that the promotion is going to be around. And really what it's going to be is wrestlers showing up at other indie events with a title or representing Ring of Honor for a storyline. You know, if you're not going to take the responsibility of promoting events and putting it together and doing everything you're supposed to do, don't do it at all. And I know they got commitment still, but we talked about Final Battle. We talked about Jeff Hardy a little bit. Yesterday, we talked about Hook and a few other things. But, you know, just some basic topics. Xia Li, a little bit of Xia Li.
Are you a fan of MMA or UFC in general? Because it was a big pay-per-view yesterday. I don't know if you
maybe I don't watch MMA or UFC. I really don't. I mean, I just never... Yeah, I never really got into it. I mean, you know, when Shamrock first showed up in WWF and then, what the hell's his face? Dan Severn showed up. Dan Severn,
yeah.
Believe it or not, Dan Severn, I actually talked to a few times early on when he did this storyline where he broke his neck. This woman that I was very close with, Georgie M. Acropolis, who did a lot of fan clubs in wrestling, and she also helped me raise the money for Conan's transplant. Mm. She was like this with Dan Severn. And, you know, we talked to him a few times, and I checked out some of the MMA that he was in, more because I kind of liked Dan Severn. You know, I was really digging his character and his work. But that was really the extent of it. Ronda Rousey piqued my interest a little bit, but that's pretty much it. Never really got into it.
Did you like Ken Shamrock's character when he came, like that shoot fighter kind of character?
Yeah. Shamrock was very intimidating. They brought him in first as the referee for the WrestleMania match with Bret Hart and Steve Austin. And Shamrock was awesome, man. I it sucks that he's on this, I don't want to say bad graces, but it's a weird dynamic. I brought it up before with Morocco that I'm just baffled that WWE doesn't show more love to Morocco. But at the same time, I'm baffled that WWE does not show more love to Ken Shamrock. It's, I don't know if he witnessed something that he wasn't supposed to backstage or what, but I don't get the disrespect that WWE has shown for Ken Shamrock. He deserves a lot more love than he gets. Shamrock was awesome.
Okay, exactly. Yeah, he honestly was. I have one question to ask too. Adam Cole earlier today, he said, he wrote, this is the honest to God truth. I have no idea what Kyle is going to do. I really don't, but I'm not even sure even if he knows what he's going to do. But the idea of getting to reunite with Kyle as well as Bobby, hell yeah, I would love that. So basically, Adam Cole saying that he would want Kyle O'Reilly to join him and Bobby Fish in AEW. You think that's probably going to happen? Because I think I can see that happen, honestly.
This was at C2E2, whatever, I don't know, comic thing. I saw it. He was on a panel with CM Punk and Hangman Page and Billy Gunn and a few others. I saw the clip. I look at it like this. I do believe Adam Cole 100% that Kyle O'Reilly still is unsure about his future. I think Kyle O'Reilly, I think, sees the number of people in AEW. Kyle O'Reilly, I think, also is aware of the contract situation in AEW. And Kyle O'Reilly's contract probably would not have the same setup as Adam Cole's, but it would be so relaxed that Kyle O'Reilly could still do a lot of outside projects and make money. I think Kyle O'Reilly, the question for Kyle O'Reilly right now is, does he want stability? I know a lot of people feel NXT is not stable, but I believe Adam Cole. The problem is, with so many people on that roster, like I said many times, nobody wants to hear it. Nobody wants to talk about it because it's not sexy. But people will look back at what I've been saying for the last 2-3 months and people will realize that we were spot on. In about a year or two, you're going to see a big exodus of AEW wrestlers. Not in any negative terms. Some will be bitter. Some will be disappointed. Some will feel they didn't get an opportunity. But, you know, when Tony Khan says he's not going to renew these contracts, I think if Kyle O'Reilly's brought in, I think you will see the Elite versus, they won't be called the Undisputed Era, but I could see them going against, you know, Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks, and someone else. And then the problem is AEW, since they don't really have long storylines, and when I mean long, I don't mean they show up on TV for 1 week and then they don't do anything for 2 or 3 weeks and then they do something again. That doesn't mean it's a five-week long storyline. So I don't. Exactly. What do you do afterwards? What do you do? We're gonna have two like NWO factions like going at it in that company.
Yeah,
you know, one NWO.
I think Kyle's already with Kyle and Bobby are already with the Elite. I mean, sorry, Adam Cole and Bobby Fish are kind of already with the Young Bucks. So I think maybe
Kenny Omega could kick Adam Cole out of the Elite,
the way I think he would play out would be, wouldn't Kyle just join them? Kyle would join with how Adam and Bobby are right now. Kyle would join in, and then they would probably snake them. Those two would get together and probably attack the Young Bucks and kind of make their own faction out of it, I guess. But if that's the way I could see it going. But yeah, that's pretty like meh. It's not really.
If Adam Cole wants, if Tony Khan wants to woo Kyle O'Reilly, Kyle O'Reilly could come in there and they could make it seem like, you know, a whole bunch of people are fawning off of him. AEW and his storylines, that's one thing they need to improve in 2022, but, you know, right now, Kenny Omega needs to heal up.
Yeah, that's true. He's the best, definitely the best thing about their roster. But what the one thing I wanted to mention was to switch it over to the ladies. Raquel Gonzalez says she wants to, like, face Charlotte Flair and Becky Lynch. Like, she said them going at it at Survivor Series was really epic, and she's like, I want to step into the ring with either of them. So you think she's going to go up to the main roster soon, Raquel Gonzalez, and probably maybe feud with them, I guess. Yeah. Rhea, she said Rhea's her friend, so she wants to feud with Rhea too, right? So her, Becky, and Rhea in a triple threat.
If I were her, I would want to feud with anybody she can get her hands on. I think the Royal Rumble would be the best way to get her onto the main roster. I'm not saying she's going to win the Royal Rumble, who knows, but I think Raquel Gonzalez, you know, will be on the main roster by the spring of 2022, if not sooner.
Okay, I believe that too. I'd agree with that, honestly, but to be honest, my last thing I wanted to ask you too was Pete Dunne recently said his favorite wrestler growing up, and I think he said that AJ Styles was his favorite wrestler growing up, right? So I'm just curious, what about you? Who was your favorite wrestler growing up?
Terry Funk.
Or your top two? Terry Funk? Okay, awesome. That's awesome.
I mean, you know, I mean, earlier it was a little different. It was Snuka, it was a Morocco, but once I started really paying attention to Terry Funk in the middle 80s, that was it. Terry Funk has always been my favorite.
Okay, awesome, man. It was good talking to you. Same and I love the call-in show you have, man. So
thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right, man.
All right, take care. When you hear that click, that's the toll-free number, everybody. Good evening, you're on. Who's this?
Hi, this is Vincent, long-time listener, first-time caller.
Much love. What's going on?
Yeah, I just want to say, hey, you know, I think you're doing a good job. I remember calling your hotline back in the early 2000s, back in New York City. I used to call you. I used to call Dominic. I used to call all those cats up there in New York City. So I think you're doing a fantastic job, and just keep it up.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You take care.
All right, you take care. Awesome, man. Hey, I absolutely love that. The Dominic he's talking about is Dominic Valente, the wrestling hot seat. I know he is still in existence, but I haven't called his line in years. I don't even know what the number is anymore. But Dominic Valente's been doing a wrestling hotline. You know, I've been doing this since 97. He's got to be doing it since the early 90s. I mean, you really want to talk about OGs? He is the original OG, but, you know, he just does a hotline. He does not do stuff on the internet. But that's awesome, man. I appreciate that. You know, it's amazing to realize that in 2 weeks, it will be my 25th year doing this stuff. But, you know, you all keep tuning in, whether it's audio or video, or even when we used to have the telephone. You know, I'll keep banging these out. And as long as the boss says it's okay. You know, if she ever comes to me and she says, look, you got to make a decision. It's either the shows or me. And you can't have both. It would be a hard decision, but can't pass up, you know. You know, she's a special person. She lets me do this. She gives me this time to spend with all of you out there, and she deserves a boatload of credit, man. So I'm going to open the phone lines again. We're going to start bringing this home. We got about 10, 13 minutes left. So if you want to call in, here's your last chance to do so. And Benjamin, you know, that's a good question. That's a good point. He's surprised she lets me do these many shows. Well, here's the thing. We don't live with each other yet. So I see her Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. So Tuesdays, I stay at the parents' house just to watch over them and spend some time with them. Wednesday, I'm home. Thursday, I'm home. And one day on the weekend, we'll take a ride over to see them a little bit. So, you know, I don't do a show Friday. That is like date night with me and her. And Saturday night is only about 2 hours, and tonight is only about 2 hours. So it's not where it, you know, and when you do the shows this long, you know, and you learn to do all the behind-the-scenes stuff, it becomes easy. So, you know, running codecs and editing and splicing in intros and putting things online and putting your audio in this, it's pretty easy. The only thing that's kind of crazy right now is putting up the retro shows because I literally have to listen through the entire shows to see if there's anything out there that might be a little inappropriate. And it's not just me. It's not just me. I mean, my former co-host, you know, had said some things, you know, I mean, so I listened through the show, you know, if there's any, because we used to take calls as well, and some of the calls were horrendous, and I trim out some calls, boost up the audio, but those shows used to run 3 and 4 hours at a time, so I try, even if I put it on 1.5 speed, you still got to sit for 2 hours plus. Then you want to take something out and you got to edit. So that is pretty much eating up all my time right now. Good evening. You're on. Who's this? Oh, we lost him. We lost him. Cold feet? I don't know. Maybe. Roger Rubio is asking everyone, smash that like button if you're having a great time tonight. If you're enjoying the show, hit the like button. Can't have any cannoli, Roger, but I definitely could have myself an espresso tomorrow with a couple of stevias in it. Let's see. Hey, you're on. Who's this?
Hey, Don Tony. It's Liz.
Hey, Liz. Good evening.
Evening. Hey, good luck on your thing on Thursday.
Thank you.
Be saying prayers.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome. And, you know, I Somebody could see me posted back a while where I said that the tales of Kevin Owens were just tales of him leaving, because they're advertising the Road to WrestleMania tour. And there's going to be in Springfield, Illinois, because I'm in Illinois, and they're pushing the Fatal 4-Way. Big E, Bobby Lashley, Seth Rollins, and Kevin Owens. So everybody was saying he's leaving at the end of January. How is he going to be in Springfield, Illinois on March the 19th? In a four-way with WWE.
I do not believe Kevin Owens has signed a new deal yet. I think you go business as normal, business is scheduled, and they're going with the idea that he's still going to be in the company. So that is what they're advertising. I don't think there's anything devious about it. If he decides, you know what, I don't think I want to re-sign with WWE, then they will pull him from that main event and put someone else in his place. I think right now, you know, with his family situation and him, you know, just basically, I don't want to say winding down his career. He still has a lot of years left. But, you know, there's a different balance now with him and his family and wrestling. If WWE is willing to give him that balance and he's happy, then he will re-sign. If he thinks that he'd rather have a lighter schedule, maybe do some stuff in AEW, and then he could be home more days, he may choose that. You know, I believe a lot of these wrestlers, you know, for all of us online, we fantasize matches. And we fantasize. Look, when I was an ECW fan, I fantasized ECW wrestlers on Raw. I know deep down inside they weren't going to be utilized as good, but I always fantasized seeing wrestlers. When ECW invaded Raw in 1997, it's one of my favorite episodes of all time. Just that, you know, that fantasy. So I don't blame anybody for fantasizing Kevin Owens wrestling somewhere else. But we also got to keep in perspective, you know, their lives, their personal lives, even the Johnny Gargano stuff. It's ridiculous that I saw people at 12:01 a.m. the other day. Johnny Gargano is free now to go to all AEW. And I'm like, come on, man. You know, the guy is married. He's about to have a kid. Those are his priorities. If you truly respect Johnny Gargano, you know, to put this countdown and this stuff and force the narrative where you know Johnny Gargano, it's different with the guy. You know, it's just people, I think, are overly excited sometimes as wrestling fans. But Kevin Owens, it's still yet to be known if he's going to re-sign with them.
Yeah. I could, when he put the thing up, when Gargano put the thing up, said it's a hell of a run, and I posted, I said, oh, you really are leaving. And I said, well, you have to do what's best for you and your family. You'll go home and spend that time and wait for the arrival of the wee one, and then you'll go from there.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
It's what it sounds like he's doing.
Yeah. There's no controversy to it. He, you know, when people are like, oh, his bio was removed from WWE, no kidding. You know, he's got T-shirts back up on Pro Wrestling Tees. No kidding. Why would you pass up that revenue? You know, he is now a free agent. He's got to make revenue for his family. So what he's doing is what anybody would do. There's no controversy behind it. But with Kevin Owens, we'll see. Kevin Owens may follow in the same footsteps as Johnny Gargano, with the exception that it is he doesn't have a newborn on the way.
Yeah. Same with Ring of Honor. Do you think that Impact will end up going the same way, that they'll end up shutting down?
It's hard to say, because the way they're set up right now, they have really downsized, and they seem to be doing a better job at downsizing. And I also believe Anthem has a lot more invested in Impact than Sinclair did with Ring of Honor. You could see the effort that Anthem is putting in for Impact. I didn't see that same effort for Sinclair. So any company could shut down. Impact, it gets to a point where if they start hemorrhaging money and they don't see any light at the end of the rainbow, they could shut down. But right now, I think Anthem is doing a decent job for the cards that are played to them. And I don't think right now there's any risk of them shutting down.
Yeah. Well, really, I think they would do a better job of getting them a higher profile if they get them off of Access. Because whatever it says, I forget about a meeting on Access on Thursday nights.
I agree. It's not the greatest channel to be on. It's just, it's very hard to negotiate with other networks out there that are not affiliated with Anthem when all you're pulling in is 90,000 viewers. You know, I've brought this up before a few times. Tessa Blanchard was pulling in 180 as their champion. I'm not saying that everybody tuned in for Tessa Blanchard, but the point is at some time they did have 200 plus thousand viewers on that network. So it's hard to renegotiate when you're not pulling in the numbers.
Yeah, that's true.
And you know what?
Now they could have
I don't mean to interrupt you, but I'll add something else. You know, whether it's Rampage airing on a Saturday night, Dynamite airing on a Friday night, Impact airing on Access or anything like that, you know, none of us out there, none of you out there are stupid. If you truly love something that you watch every week, and they say, okay, next week we're going to be on a different network or a different time because of it. You know, I know that back in the day with ECW, you know, if they were going to air at 4 a.m. instead of 2 a.m., if I recorded all the shows, I made sure the first thing I did was update my VCR timer. If I was going to watch it, I set my... So we're not stupid. There's no excuse for us not to know where somebody is. It's just that, you know, you don't see the networks really pushing, you know, Impact Wrestling at all.
Yeah, I think that's where Tony Khan could have helped Impact, like saying, hey, you know, these guys are going to be all over there. Go watch it.
Tony Khan, I think, realized that Impact needed AEW. AEW didn't need Impact. But if they were able to use a few wrestlers out of Impact, especially the Good Brothers, why would you pass that up? So Tony Khan made out like a bandit with that.
But Impact didn't.
Yeah. It hurt Impact. For almost a year, it sent the message that their roster was not good enough to be champion.
And that's all, you know, that's all fair to them.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, since they're working there, you know, they got to make the best of it. And, you know, I give credit to a lot of the wrestlers in Impact. They were professional about it. They made the best out of it. And now they have to, you know, they got the ball again. So now they have to, you know, really get themselves over and try to get more viewers to that product. If the numbers don't improve, I mean, that doesn't spell, you know, good for some of those wrestlers on the roster.
Yeah. Well, I'll let you go. People are probably screaming. It's been more than 5 minutes.
Nah, I appreciate it. So much love.
Thank you, and good luck on Thursday.
Take care, Liz. Thank you.
Bye.
Take care. All right. So I think we'll take maybe one more call because we're at the 90-minute mark. And for the record, Liz went 8 minutes. So 5 minutes is not, you know, it's not exact, but... You know, the idea is we just keep the topics going. And look, you realize we must have had 13 topics tonight and some pretty damn good topics, you know, not just random shit. So I love it. I love it. You know what? Shout out to everybody in the chat room talking about Impact right now, because I think a lot of you out there see what I see. Do you see what I see? Tony Khan is a smart businessman. You know, there's so many people out there that think that the good gestures are simply out of the kindness of his heart. And that's just not the case. He is smart enough that if he's going to do something out of the kindness of his heart, he's going to get something in return. That's why when he sent a few women to the NWA, and he paid a few things and they didn't really like acknowledge it. He made sure that we all knew it, because a good deed left unnoticed is not in his vocabulary, and that makes him smart. But a lot of people refuse to look at it like that. So listen, I know I have cracked some very dumb jokes with Tony Khan early on, but I have paid very close attention, and I try to do it in a very unbiased way, in a way not gushing. And, you know, Tony Khan will do business with other companies, but he ain't doing it for free. And he's not doing it out of the kindness of his heart. And when he's got someone under contract for 3 years and he says, I'm not going to release them, I'll just let the contract run out. And then you realize that said wrestler gets paid a goose egg if they're not used in AEW. That contract is, and the wrestlers won't complain because they don't have too many options in the first place. And they just lost another one with Ring of Honor. So, you know, he's a very smart man, extremely smart. Listen, when I see people out there that will say, oh, he's just got daddy's money, they are so wrong. They are so off with Tony Khan. Very, very smart businessman, man. Left Twix is Exame, Tony Khan or Dixie Carter. If I had to do business with either one, I would go with Tony Khan. Seriously. I probably would get along with Dixie Carter better, but Tony Khan, I would love to do business with, you know, because he's got a head on his shoulders, you know, and he plays the game well, as Chaos, Guardian of Chaos, always says. He does the hustle, and he does it well, and it's not nefarious. You could be a really smart, slick businessman and be a good guy at the same time. I give him credit, man. I give him credit. AEW Forbidden Door or the real Forbidden Door, as in, oh, no, the real Forbidden Door. Good evening, you're on. Who's this? Going once. Going twice, God. So maybe we should just, see, I like the 225 Don Tony. It's got a nice ring to it, but looking at all the missed calls tonight, it's like 90% calling the toll-free number, which I don't blame you, and only 10% for the Don Tony number. It's all good. But you call whatever number you want to call in as long as you call in. So if you want to call in, we will take one more call, and then we are going to call it for the night. And I thank you for making this a really fun night tonight. Trust me, I don't do things to be dramatic on these shows, but believe me when I tell you, last night, I had a freaking horrible night's sleep and just thinking in the back of my mind, you know, what if, you know, they find something? You know, what if they got to put a stent in? What if they got to do this? What if they got to do that after what happened to my father in January? You know, like, it's just, it rattles your brain. So believe me when I tell you, when all of you are so kind to say that, you know, these shows are therapeutic to get your mind off the everyday bullshit, it's therapeutic for me too. Good evening, you're on. Who's this?
Hey, DT, this is David Peralta.
Hey, David, what's going on?
I'm hanging in there.
All right, cool.
As usual.
All right.
How you doing, man?
Yeah, not bad. Not bad. You know, can't believe it's only 2 weeks away from Christmas, 3 weeks away from 2022. I still can't help but to think 2020, everybody a year ago was like, oh, 2021 is going to be a great, great, great year. Oh, we're going to be out of call. And I said, just because the calendar changes doesn't mean, you know, it's 2021 was going to be pretty much 2020 on steroids. But I truly believe 2022 will be a better year. I really do believe that.
Well, let's hope so, man.
Yeah.
Let's hope so.
Got to keep the hope up, man. Yeah, can't be bad, you know, forever. I mean, we all have our pits and our valleys, and some of those pits are much, much steeper than others. You know, I know a lot of you out there know that girl Jessie online. She came home. You know, she's home from the hospital. And, you know, let's be honest, everyone. You know, and it's sad because I exchanged a lot of DMs with her before
right.
this ever happened before it got to this point. And, you know, before she even went to the hospital. And, you know, there were a lot of people that honestly expected a tragic ending to this. And, right. you know, it was ridiculous to see people online that were jealous that she was getting this much love. But, you know, you really, I mean, if you need a little inspiration for to see someone battling, you know, like the hardest battle, you know, that's a great example. But I always say also, and I've said this indirectly to you and others in the past, you know, just because we don't know what your battle is doesn't diminish its value. Just because the net doesn't know what you're going through doesn't make your battle worth less. You know, it's just, you know, you got to just look at people for inspiration. And, you know, I see people out there. I mean, even, you know, Matt Hardy and Karrion Kross. Killer Kross. Excuse me, I got to get out of force habit.
Yeah, Killer Kross.
Killer Kross last night was talking very, very real about a lot of topics. And he was in a couple of dark places that he truly thought was never going to get out of.
Right.
I won't elaborate further than that, but they were some dark, dark shit. And look at what's happened with him. Sure, he's not in WWE anymore, but, you know, he's in a better place. And, you know, it doesn't last forever. Doesn't last forever. You got to keep battling, and it'll make you stronger in the end.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's what I keep on doing. I mean, I always say to myself that, you know what? Those people that complain about shit on social media, they're not doing anything for their lives. That's what they choose to waste their time on, then so be it. That's their shit. I'm glad that I have something to do. I'm glad I have a job, and I'm hustling my way to get my freedom, to get my own place to live, because, again, you know, I just want to, like, start over and live a happy life. Yeah. That's what I'm fighting for, and that's what makes me feel like, you know, at the end of the day, I'm doing something.
Little at a time. Last thing you want to do, look, I'm going to get married in my 50s, okay? Yeah. I had a very serious talk with my dad, and my dad said to me, "You sure you want to do this now?" And I said, you know, I could have done it 12, 13 years ago dating someone else, but inside it didn't feel right. You know, I'm not going to rush something just to do it. And, you know, she's the best thing that's ever happened to me. Point is, you don't want to rush what you're setting up for, because you may crash and burn and it might be 10 times worse than it was before. You can't force it. You just got to build a little, build a little, and build a little. Look, I showed everybody the other day, I didn't do it to rub it in, but for the first time in my life, my credit score was above 800. Wow. And my entire life, 660 was one of the magic numbers, and 590 was the other magic number. When I was a lot younger, my credit score was always 590, to the point I used to play the number for the lottery. 590 and 660 were my credit scores for most of my life. And a couple of years ago, I said, I'm going to start focusing on paying off bills. That's why, you know, when I do all these shows and everything like that, you know, I can't do what I did the first 20 years of paying for everything. But I just, a little at a time, it took me about 10 years. But I got my credit alert about 3 weeks ago, and it was 800. And then I got it again last week. It was 805. I never in a million years ever thought I would hit that. But, you know, I didn't even think of it. You just a little at a time, and you'll get there. You'll get there.
Yeah.
So you just got to keep at it, man. You're focused, and it's not going to happen overnight. You don't want it to happen overnight. You just got to keep at it.
Right. I'll keep that in mind, DT.
You'll get it. I'm telling you, you'll get it. It's there's light at the end of the tunnel. Somebody wrote in the chat room that 2021 was like a transitional period. I think it was. Yeah. You know, I mean, technology has changed a lot in 100 years, but I watched so much video on the Spanish flu of tuberculosis and some of the pandemics from hundreds of years ago. Yeah. And, you know, even though we've come so far in medicine, this was something that would have wiped out millions upon millions of people if this was even 50 years ago. So it's not something that's going to go away overnight. It's going to take a few years. But I think we needed 2021 to build back slowly for 2022 and 2023. I think a lot of people were just focused on writing 1 year off and that's it. But I really believe 2022 will be better for all of us. I expect to hear good news for you also.
I hope so too, man. I mean, but it's like this, DT. It's like it could have been prevented, but also could have been handled better if you had a better person in charge.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, you look at other countries besides the U.S., there was some that handled it very well. There was some that handled it very poorly. But right over here, it was very mixed to poorly. But because over the year, since 2021, over the last couple of months, we all like had to make our choices whether we wanted to get vaccinated or not. I made my choice to get vaccinated, and just recently I got a booster shot. So I made my decision, and I played it by the rules because I wanted to make sure I'm safe. And I want to. And look, people have their own choices to make, and if they chose to do what they did, okay, that's on them. I mean, I'm not going to say anything about it, and I'm not going to let that, you know, bad decision affect my opinion towards them. It's like, hey, you know what? It's their choice. I'm just trying to, like, live for myself and
do
things on my own for now.
That's all you got to do. I, listen, when I got my cancer scare 2.5 years ago, and, you know, I saw who my true friends were. And trust me, I'm not even talking about people online. I'm talking about people personally that I could actually touch physically. When I saw who my true friends were and I saw who were, you know, people that truly didn't give a crap. And then I realized, you know, everything going on with this world, with this country, we talked about it on Thursday with Jesse Smollett. All I said about the verdict was, can you imagine if we never found out that he lied. That for the last couple of years, this world would have gone on thinking that two white guys with MAGA hats beat the crap out of a black gay man. The amount of tragedies and violence and hatred that would have happened in this country would have been 10 times, 100 times more than now. So when you see all this for the last 2.5 years, I decided, you know what? Fuck Trump. Fuck Biden, fuck Cuomo, fuck de Blasio, fuck everybody else out there. The only people that I care about is me, my fiance, my parents, my family, my friends, and all of you out there that I mingle with online.
Sorry.
That's all I care about. And I will treat others the way I want to be treated, but that's it. If the world crashes and burns, all I know is that my inner circle, I did everything that I could. Worry about yourself, and that's the most important thing.
Right. I wanted to ask you a couple of questions, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, because we're going to wrap it up after
this. Yeah. So my question, it was about, because I heard about the whole situation with Johnny Gargano, you know, leaving and all that. And look, I understand he's a father now. He's got a kid to expect, and I hope him nothing but the best. I wish him and his wife a lot of love and all that, because I saw these guys wrestle a couple times. They're great, excellent, all that. My question to you is, who do you expect is going to return in the next couple of months or a year that we haven't seen in a long time in WWE? Because, like, believe it or not, the only two people I know who could expect to come back is Lacey Evans and Ronda Rousey. And, like, they both, and they also gave birth recently to their kids.
Well, Lacey Evans, I have nothing against her, but even if she comes back, I don't think it's going to make that much of a difference. Ronda Rousey, I put in the same category as Brock Lesnar. Ronda Rousey will be a special attraction. She will, you know, like, you know, this is something that, again, this is why I don't compare AEW with WWE.
Yeah,
you have SmackDown, And for the next 15 months, the heavyweight championship might feature just Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar. WWE realized they don't need an extra 20, 30 people on SmackDown. They could get away with who they have. The numbers have proved right. that. So now you go to the women's division, and it's still Becky, Charlotte, Sasha, a little bit of Bianca, you know, because she's added in the mix. Bayley will be back. And then you realize it's pretty much the same.
That's right. She's coming back.
They're getting by. So you add Ronda Rousey in that mix. Now you got five, six women. WWE realizes this is all we need for the next year or two. So Ronda is the only one for me. You may have some people in AEW that could come back. Jericho could come back down the line. I wouldn't be surprised at that. RVD could make a little cameo here and there. I don't know. But Ronda Rousey is the one person that I think would make the biggest impact. But she would be a special attraction like Lesnar.
Yeah, that sounds like a fair answer. Because like, I just think she doesn't have anyone to face in the main roster. Or, I mean, at least if somebody from NXT is going to come up, there's no one to face her. I mean, not that we know that's like that's good qualified to cut a promo or have an interaction.
Ooh, Ronda?
Yeah.
No, they got all the women I just said. Any of them could face her. Hell, she faced Nia Jax. She faced Alexa Bliss. She faced, you know, some of the... She faced Dana Brooke. So she has plenty of women to face for the next year. Look at Brock. Brock, other than a little interaction with Sami Zayn, it's just Brock and Roman. That's it.
Yeah. I just wanted to be sure because I'm like, you know, I want to see like her interact like and wrestle very well. It's like, you know, she is a big name. She is a big attraction. So when it comes to wrestling with somebody in the ring, just want to make sure you have a good chemistry with that person. You know?
Yeah. Well,
another question. I still couldn't get over with the whole MJF and CM Punk promo that they did a few weeks back. Cause, I don't know. Is it just me? And I want to know if you or anybody else felt this, but did that feel like a rap battle without an instrumental? Because like that's what I remember seeing. I'm like, I think to myself, the way they cut these phones, it feels like a rap battle. It feels like a rap battle without a hip-hop beat to it.
Yeah.
That's probably me just saying that.
No, that's what it was. And when they ran out of material, Britt Baker was brought up in a sexual way for no reason. And CM Punk's dog was brought up for no reason. So when you have a rap battle and you run out of quick insults, you start coming up with things that kind of like make no sense. But yeah, that's a good comparison. It reminded me a little bit of the Usos and the New Day.
Yeah. That's but they try to like take a shot at WWE in the sense of like, okay, whatever.
It was
you
fun.
You
want
to take a shot at WWE?
Yeah, it was fun. But you know, MJF and CM Punk is a feud designed that only lasts a month or two.
Yeah.
You know.
And final question. Yeah. I've always noticed in your little studio there, you don't have a hip hop poster in your room. Why is that?
I've been keeping music off of it for some reason. Okay. I mean, I have everything from Prince to Led Zeppelin in artwork inside. I just, the problem was, and that's why I just been lazy taking down the Muppets. But, you know, I just never put it up because if I put up one, you know, I feel like I got to put up more than one. So, no, I have artwork in music for sure. I have an awesome one by Prince. I don't think I have it handy, but no, I do have musicians. It's just, since we always talk about wrestling, I always kept it mostly as wrestling. I mean, that's the only reason why, but I do have artists that I could put up. Sure.
Okay. I would just say like, you know, if you wanted to put one up there, just you can, but like you could put one that's meaningful to you personally.
Yeah.
So that way, like when people start watching your video, you're going to say, people say, oh, look at that poster right there. That you got that. That must be really cool to have that right there.
Like, but you know what? I'll say this.
Yeah.
The way I have everything set up in the back is not very good because I used a lot of tape and strips that if I start pulling them down, I'm going to tear them apart. And the thing is that somebody reached out to me about probably about 4 months ago, if I would ever consider like doing like a little spot for any wrestling TV, you know, just like in, like a little clip, you know. So I don't want to say that it's similar to what Denise did on NXT last week, but somebody asked me and I said, sure, it would, you know, but somebody said, can I give you some advice? And I said, sure. And they said, you got to change your background a little bit, that if you're going to do something for a particular brand, you have to make sure that everything behind you is nothing but that product. Nothing right. controversial, nothing, you know, it's got to be just that. So the way my stuff is set up, I can't just mix and match and pull this down today and put something up tomorrow. I have to come up with it a little bit differently. But, you know, with everything going on, I just haven't had the time.
That's understandable. And as I'm going to let you go, DT, it's Much very love. Nice to talk to you guys. Guys out there, I'll take care. Have a good night. And good luck with Thursday.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
You're going to need a big time. We all going to need it. You take it easy, DT. Have a good night.
Take care. Do-do-do. Do-do-do. Yeah, I'm too lazy to hit the silencer thing because you never hear that little disconnect thing, but it's all good. So we're going to wrap that up as far as calls. A lot of great topics tonight. I appreciate everybody that called in that kept the topics, you know, really tight. And for everybody that wasn't able to call in, you know, we'll do this again. I expect to do this next Sunday. No reason why we can't. And, Darren is asking, what's happening Thursday? Where have you been, Darren? I got to go in and get a heart procedure done. I got to get an angiogram done. And it's no joke, you know, for my family. So Wednesday morning, I'm going in for blood work, getting a COVID test done. And then Wednesday night, there will not be a show Wednesday. Wednesday night, I will be in a hotel room, you know, just a few minutes away from St. Francis Hospital. And then Thursday, I'm getting that procedure. And as long as they don't find anything, I feel up to it, even if I come on for a half hour, I'll be up here Thursday night and I'll let you all know how everything went. You know, I'm sure I won't have any like video or screenshots of what they're doing, but, you know, I will know right then and there because what's this NWO shirt worth? I have no idea. I have no idea. It's got to still be for sale somewhere. I mean, when they first came out, you know, I know on eBay, you know, see, that's the weird thing about eBay. You know, I still have a lot of my original ECW shirts. You'll go on eBay and there'll be a shirt for sale for like $250. You know, there's got to be a bootleg somewhere. And if I was WWE, I would be stupid if I didn't sell this. To me, I love the spray paint logo 10 times more than the block logo. But this has got to, I have this since the late 90s, mid 90s, no, 96. So it's got to be for sale. And I'm sure somebody on eBay still sells it. Just, you know, for any of you out there looking to buy retro shirts, don't settle for the ones on eBay that are trying to like milk you for some crazy, crazy coin, because chances are, you know, there's somebody out there, you know, the quality might be a little bit less than what it was. You know, I'll be honest with you, this quality is pretty freaking good, but, you know, even if you get it for a little less quality, if you pay $20 for it, you don't wear it every day, you'll get some good use out of it. I would never drop $100, $150 for a shirt. Unless it's something from my, you know, from my youth that I threw out or, you know, just tore up that I miss and I can't find it anywhere. I do regret selling my ECW leather jacket. I do regret selling that. I got like $300 for the jacket. Now they got, it's got to be well over $1,000. The original leather jacket that they came out with, the bomber, I had one. And I was very proud of that jacket. But I sold it on eBay many, 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 many years ago. And that's one of the things that I absolutely regret selling. So Jeff says that a 1993 Bret Hart shirt is worth like $400. you know what? WWE on occasion will come out with retro, the same shirts that they used to sell, like the Razor Ramon or the, you know, Andre and all. You know, the only difference is the label inside the shirt. If WWE is selling a retro version of it, you know, I know there's some people like, no, I got to have the original. Who are you impressing? Serious, and I'm saying that to be sincere. Like, if you buy the original on eBay for $100, used, barely used, but you could go on WWE Shop and buy a retro, you know, version of it for $25. If you go to a wrestling event, a convention, C2E2, the big event, an AEW show, and people are like, oh, that's an awesome shirt. You think anybody's going to turn around and going to say, oh, that's an awesome shirt, but that's the remake. That's not the original. Like, there's nobody to impress, you know. So WWE, that's one thing that you got that I give them a lot of credit for. They do sell a lot of their retro shirts. You'd be surprised how many retro shirts they have up there. Shit, I almost bought one from the Wild Samoans. Not too long ago, I almost bought a Wild Samoans shirt from WWE, and I was like, ah, changed my mind. So, yeah, I'm fine if Buck Showalter signs with the Mets. You know, I just hope he doesn't turn into another Dallas Green. Anybody that was a Met fan in 1993 know why I'm saying that. So, but I liked whenever Dallas Green used to get pissed off, get thrown out of games. That's actually, I'm looking right at a ton of Mets games from 93. I got a collection. And the highlights is whenever he would argue with the umpires. And just his face would turn pink. His face would turn pink red from screaming. That was the only highlight I have of the Mets from 93. So anyway, I'm going to jet out of here. We are almost at the 2-hour mark. A little longer, but it's all good. We had some great convo tonight. Great topics of discussion. I thank you all for hanging out for a little bit tonight. It's nice to be able to go off the air and it's only 10 instead of 1:30 in the morning. So I'm going to wrap this up, grab a little late dinner, you know, frozen food, not going out. But I will be back here Monday night with Mish at 11:05, right after Raw. And if you're part of our Patreon family, I still plan on doing Patreon Tuesday night at 10 o'clock. The only way that changes is if I end up going to a hotel room Tuesday night instead of Wednesday. But even if I do that, I'm bringing a laptop with me, so I could probably still do Patreon since it's audio only. So, no Doc Gooden jokes. I am a huge fan of Doc Gooden. One of my favorites. I have a cameo. When I got engaged, I forgot who sent it to me. I think it was Mike from Your Best Bargains. Actually, had Dwight Gooden send me a cameo. I got a ton of cameos that are sent to me from a lot of you wonderful people out there. The only one I ever put public was the Karrion Kross one when he was talking about, you know, being a supporter of my show before he got into wrestling. And I put a couple other videos on, but the cameos I kept private to myself. But the Doc Gooden one was awesome. I mean, he really was awesome. So, and yeah, I got a cameo. Any of you know Judge Jeanine Pirro? I actually got her to send a best wishes to my dad, and she wouldn't take a penny for it. I kid you not. I don't think I have the video in this computer. Let me see if I do. If I do, I'll show it to you to close this out. If I don't, I'll show it to you next time. I don't have too many videos in this computer. I'm looking. I don't believe I do. Check in one more area. And I don't think so. Yeah, I don't. But I reached out to her because she was on Cameo. And I said, my father's a big fan of your work. My father also met her a couple of times at some events in the past. And I said that, you know, he was in having heart surgery. And I said, it would be awesome if you could give him some well wishes. And she asked for his last name, and I gave her his last name. And she came back and gave me the video, and she says, I want nothing for it. She says, this one was on me. And I thought that was awesome. So I don't have the video in here, but I'll show you on the Thursday episode. If we do it Thursday, I'll show it to you. Some people that are not fans of Judge Jeanine, they're like, no, that's all right. You can keep it for yourself. We don't need to see it. Look, I know a lot of people don't like her, but it was a very kind gesture, though. It was, and she does mention Trump in the video. This was right after the January 6th, believe it or not, because my father went in for surgery in January. I haven't watched the video since I gave it to him. I think I have it in my phone. I kid you not. I'll put the phone up to the... Here, I'll put the phone... This is very primitive. Let me see. Just to show it to you so you see I'm not kidding. Let me see if I can find it. I'll just show you the screenshot. Here. You can see that? Yeah, look. I'll show you the actual video the next episode in good color. There's the proof right there to my dad. So it's pretty cool. She took nothing, which is a very, very nice gesture. All right, I'm out of here. We are at the 2-hour mark. So everyone on the way out, if you enjoyed tonight's show, smash that like button. If you're not a subscriber yet, subscribe. Where are we at? Oh, my God. This is the first time I look back and the number is on there. We're at, 22,800? By this time next year, I want to be at 50,000. Seriously. I know there's a lot of other podcasters out there that have been doing this for over a decade here. You know, you give me a decade. And I'm not trying to take away viewers from anyone else. Obviously, my style is much different. But you give me a couple of years and let's see what we could turn this son of a bitch into. But my audio-only family... Freaking awesome, man. Almost 200,000 downloads in the first 30 days on Blue Wire. That's crazy shit, man. Absolute crazy shit. Almost 200,000 in the first 30 days. You know, that's awesome. But everyone have a great night. I'll see you tomorrow night, 11:05 p.m. after Raw with Mish. So good night, everybody.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.